Well, hey, everyone. For this week's culture segment, I'm very excited about my two guests here in the studio. It is not often that we get to sit down in person with Dr. Gary Smalley. Gary, welcome.
Thank you.
Okay, well, he came here to talk to Jim Daly, really, but we stole him away prior to that. Let's just be honest. Sometimes, you know, we have to lure those people over from the Daly broadcast tapings and use them for our own purposes. But he is here. You know him as a huge author and speaker on the subject of relationships, especially marriage. Gary Smalley is the founder of the Smalley Relationship Center. He has written a truckload of books, I think like 52, either authored or co-authored, which makes me wonder, I don't even know what else you're doing, but writing books. Do you ever actually talk to couples? I don't know, but hopefully we do to get some of that background. But anyway,
it's 24 hours a day, actually.
Yeah. And he does, 24 hours a day. And he's making media appearances, and he does all this stuff. So he is actually quite the expert, and we've known him and loved him for a long time here at Focus on the Family, so very excited to have him. He brought with him Ted Cunningham. Ted, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, so Ted is a pastor.
And I've got all the time in the world.
He's got a lot of time. Ted is the pastor of Woodland Hills Family Church. These guys are both in Branson, Missouri. I have been to Branson. I have done many things in Branson.
And the podcast listeners are our primary target audience for Branson, Missouri, the country music, retired singers and all that.
Yes.
Probably
right.
Well on their way.
Exactly. Exactly. So, which is odd because I've actually been to Branson. I have been to Silver Dollar City. I've been to a lot of the shows there. I've done all those gigs.
Really?
Very fun. Yeah.
Our church meets in an abandoned theme park in Branson.
In a purple castle.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah.
That is slightly concerning to me, but I appreciate it.
And most people go,
you are
cool.
That's pretty cool. That is pretty fun. So, Ted is, like I said, a pastor there. He is also the co-founder of 2Ignite and co-creator of Tripfire.com, and the author of the soon-to-be-released Young and in Love, Challenging the Unnecessary Delay of Marriage. Ba-bam. So we're going to be talking to him about that a little bit later. Anyway, so I had to bring you guys in the studio today to basically pick your brains and help get you to help our audience, because we've got, I was telling you before we started taping, tons of young adults in our audience, you know, anywhere from college age through late 30s, some in their 40s even. And then a lot of parents of young adults who listen because they're like, what can I do with my young adult?
Mm-hmm.
So, but we know that relationships are important at all stages of life. And it's interesting because we talk so much here on the show about singleness and about dating and, you know, am I single and ready to mingle, or am I single, you know, bachelor to the rapture, or what am I, you know, what should I do? Go out and get married.
There's all the same.
So I want to start talking. You guys have actually co-authored a couple books that really deal with the ideas of conflict resolution and understanding intimacy in light of dealing with differences or dealing with conflict. And especially two of your books are From Anger to Intimacy and Great Parents, Lousy Lovers. Now, most of our audience, you know, aren't parents, and hopefully they're not lovers, lousy or otherwise, if they're single. But I think there are a lot of principles from these books that probably apply to people who are pre-married, ones who want to get married, and that's certainly what we encourage here at Boundless. So I want to just dive right into this and ask you guys from the get-go, when you're talking to married couples, what is it? Because no one goes into marriage and just says, well, I'm going to make it through the first year and then I'm just going to crash and burn. You know, no one sets themselves up for that and no one anticipates that. Everyone, when they get married, thinks that it's going to be amazing. And most of them do because they think as long as I've married the right person, then it's going to be easy. It's going to be smooth sailing. But then they have to talk to you guys because we realize that isn't true. So what is it when you guys talk to married couples that you find to be the biggest eye-openers for them as far as relationships and as far as what you have to kind of sit down and back them up on as far as going into marriage and where they are now?
Yeah, something Gary says that I love is, you know, you really don't get to know your spouse till you've been married about 47 years.
Okay.
Yeah, I've been married 46 years, actually. I'm coming up close to 47.
Wow.
And I think as I look back over my life, I had very little training at all. Today, there's such great training for marriage. What's the one test that Chick-fil-A is giving everybody who just signs up for free? It's awesome.
Oh, yeah.
And it tells a couple that's dating, thinking about marriage. It even reveals like 90% whether they're going to divorce. Hmm. And it shows them on a graph so that there's like 10 or more areas. And then it says you're low in this area, but here's what you do to raise that area. So every one of the areas they're low in, they can raise. And so it's a pretty specific skill-based.
Okay. But
I just took it recently and had a couple of couples take it also.
And he's low in how many areas?
I'm about 3/4 of the way up.
Okay.
So I only have about 25% I have to keep working on.
That's good. That's good. Never, just chuck
yeah,
the rest
yeah,
of it.
You never, you know, and you do good at some areas, and then after a while, you're failing at it because the spouse changes and so on.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And that's what he says, though, that I like. You know, he's constantly telling young people, I had no training going into this. And probably for the first 5 years of marriage, you had no training.
Oh, it was horrible, first 5 years.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Okay.
Yeah. And see, what we didn't realize is that you have to be trained on how to communicate conflict resolution.
Mm-hmm.
Because the four reasons basically that cause divorce are all communication.
Hmm.
They're escalating during arguments. They're withdrawing during arguments. There's false beliefs about your mate that you don't know how to, you know, uncover those. You don't know how to do that. And then, the biggest one is belittling your mate, dishonoring your mate mm-hmm. during an argument. So arguments,
Yeah, and the whole skill side of it, you know, I grew up in an independent, fundamental, premillennial, King James Version only Baptist church, okay?
Amen.
And the message I got on sex growing up is sex is dirty, nasty, and ugly, and you should save it for the one you love. That was the primary message I got. I wasn't trained. I grew up in church, and I never learned the skills. You know, young people then come out of high school, we go into college, and it's the focus turns from really purity to compatibility.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay, now I got to find somebody I'm compatible with. And I went to one of the leading evangelical colleges in the country and still got very few skills. Got the purity talks,
mm-hmm.
but I never got, here's how to be a husband. Here's how to be a wife. Here's how to grow up. You know, we wrote the book, Great Parents, Lousy Lovers for Parents, but the message out of that book for singles is the kid-centered home. You know, most of the young people I work with on college campuses are coming from kid-centered homes. They struggle through college. They struggle through their first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth job in the first year because mom and dad revolved their lives around the kids. They go to college and they grow frustrated that the campus pastor, the deans, the professors, the administrators aren't treating me the way mom and dad did. You know, like I'm in charge.
Yeah.
And so when I hire that college graduate to be our youth pastor, one of the reasons he makes it 11 months is because he's not been trained on how to be a worker.
Mm-hmm.
Just like we need training on how to be a husband and how to be a wife. And that's one of the things in Branson that we spend a lot of time on is we're training our teenagers how to be husbands and how to be wives.
Mm-hmm.
Not that they are going to get married at 16 or 17 or 18, but we're saying we're not going to wait until 5 years into marriage when you start having problems to give you these skills. The number one thing we hear from boomers and builders at our seminars, our marriage seminars, is, I wish we would have gotten this a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
Wish we would have had this before we got married. Mm-hmm. Because most of the people...
You define builders as like the Gen X generation.
No, I'm sorry. The builders would be above the boomers.
Oh, sorry. Okay,
yeah,
gotcha.
The baby
okay.
builders. Yeah, it'd be the born before 1943. The greatest generation.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, and see, in so many ways, I'm just realizing it with my own life. I'm the last of six kids,
mm-hmm.
and my mom just took, you know, care of me, whatever I wanted. I'd come home from a date, you know, because I started dating, of course, in the third grade, because
mm-hmm.
It was a small town, and mm-hmm. my family
and he
didn't
was a
have
very
any,
popular guy.
Yeah, I didn't have any, you know, rules, and I did a lot of informal dating until the third grade, but anyway.
Before you made it official.
That's right.
What does informal dating in second grade look like?
It was a dance.
Okay.
I have a formal dance day, okay? And so walked her home. Anyway, so I almost forgot what I was talking about, but I'd come home from a date at 10 o'clock at night or 11 or whatever, and I'd say, my mom would say, are you hungry?
Oh,
and I'd
word.
Say, oh, you know what I'd love is one of your butterscotch pies.
What?
And
in
she
the
would
world?
Do it.
She'd bake it.
Yeah,
or
right.
If you, I don't
and
know if
I
you
would
bake it or not.
Eat half of it, you know, because I could eat anything back then and never gain a pound. And so then I get married.
Oh, yeah.
And so I would say to my wife at 10 o'clock at night, gosh, do you feel like a butterscotch pie? You want to make that? She'd look at me like, you think I'm your mother?
Go to Baker Square.
That's right.
Yeah. My face.
But see, I was entitled, and I kept in being entitled, and my personality was that way. And so I had to get mashed in the business world before I finally started realizing that God's highest calling for us is to be a servant. Mm-hmm. And I didn't have a clue. I was quit at church one time because they were all, quote, making me unhappy. Mm-hmm. And I didn't have a clue about, and the singles that are listening to this, what was really wrong with me is that I expected all of those people in that church to let me use my education from seminary and from my university's training to make this a great education church and a youth church, you know, great programs. And they were frustrating me because I didn't have a clue as to what they wanted. Mm-hmm. And so when I finally sat down with the senior pastor after I stayed up all night one time, I asked him, what are your dreams here? What are your goals? How can I help you? Everything changed. And I asked the board that. I asked the parents of the kids. And I became the most popular, you know, that I've ever been in a church because I was serving people where they wanted to go. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so that... Mm-hmm.
That's good. So what, looking at, you know, a lot of times we hear that you can't obviously really get to know your spouse until you're married, and a lot of stuff doesn't come out until after you're married and whatever, and we recognize that. But what are some behaviors, for example, going into marriage, and we've also heard the kind of the adage that the stuff that you find quirky and interesting before marriage ends up being extremely annoying after marriage. So what are some things, because I've heard from people who, talking about conflict again, blow up, get all crazy, and then they say, well, I'm like this because I'm Italian. Or
I'm Irish.
Or I withdraw and I can't express my feelings or my emotions because I'm a thinker on the Myers-Briggs test. Mm-hmm. So what actually can be attributed to personality, and what is like, no, you need to sit down with our pastor, or we need to figure out a way to work.
All of them need to bring balance into the relationship, into their personality, into the way they escalate or withdraw. And that's the personal responsibility. We do this in our marriage seminars that is so key. The whole, we have them stand up, face each other. They do this Texas shootout thing. But at the end, we point to each other and say, you're fired. Mm-hmm. You're no longer responsible for my emotions, my feelings, my words, my actions. I'm going to take 100%. And if you think that's the relationship skill that Gary's been teaching now, ever since the DNA of Relationships book came out, that probably 6 years or 7 years now, he's been teaching personal responsibility, because that affects everything. You just described it in a church setting. Mm-hmm. It affects every relationship that you know, you don't go into your boss anymore and with the attitude of, you know, this company is so blessed to have me. Mm-hmm. You know, so here's what I'm going to need you to do. I need a raise. I need a bonus. I need a, you know, better health care plan.
More time off.
We do the same thing in marriage. Mm-hmm. You are so blessed to have me. Mm-hmm. So here's what I need. Right. We just start giving our needs out there.
Yeah. And that's the essence of life for me today at 70 years of age. The thing that's encouraging me and lifting my heart and causing so many changes in my life, giving me more patience and less complaining and so on and so forth, is that I've taken 100, but I was married for 38 years before I did this. And I used to blame my wife for my unhappiness. Well, singles can blame their parents, their boss, their friends, their colleagues they went to, their pastor, their church, you know. Mm-hmm. We all tend to blame other people for our unhappiness, and that's where I was. And so at 38 years into our marriage, I fired my wife, basically. Mm-hmm. But what I said to her, would you forgive me for the way I expected and my stupid attitude and how hurtful it was that I kept asking you to change so that I could be happy. There were certain things she was doing that was driving me nuts, and that had nothing to do with her. It was me. Mm-hmm. Because of my own beliefs, my own brain, my own heart. I was putting into my heart things that were making me miserable, had nothing to do with my wife, Norma. And so that's been my message for the last 8 years, and it's totally freeing. It's like Jesus said, if his words abide in you, if they live inside of you, his main commands live inside of you, then you're going to know the truth, and the truth is going to set you free. Mm-hmm. So that's what I do today. I memorized many of Christ's teachings, his commands. I have four main ones that I work on every day. And they're the things that are transforming me and giving me the quality of my life today. And my happiness comes from him and his word mm-hmm. and his spirit in me. And so my wife doesn't drive me crazy mm-hmm. anymore. It doesn't mean that she doesn't irritate me from time to time, but that's my issue. It's my log. I don't ask her to change because that's not going to do a thing to the logs in my own eye.
Yeah. And you're saying, Dr. Small, I mean, obviously we're learning from your story that it was quite the learning curve for you. I mean, you didn't have those examples
huge,
and years in, you were still learning things.
Can I get just one tiny story?
Yeah.
I used to be on our case all the time because of how we ate mm-hmm. and how that affected our health of our body mm-hmm. and then that she never exercised. And I did every day. And so I used to criticize her. And those conversations never led anywhere except for an argument. Why don't you listen to me? I mean, I'd quote, you know, whoever I could quote. If mm-hmm. I had Dr. Oz, I would have, you know, quoted him, you know, whatever. Uh-huh. Never did. I got off her case, stayed off her case, 4 years after I asked her to forgive me and said, you're on your own with God. And we're married and we have enjoyed our marriage a lot more. Anyway, 4 years later, she called me on my cell phone and said, what are you doing for lunch? And I said, nothing. She said, would you join me down on the landing in Branson, Missouri and bring your tennis shoes? And I thought, my tennis shoes? She says, yeah, I'm walking now every day. I didn't say anything to you because I knew you'd say I wasn't walking right, you know, mm-hmm. or I didn't have my right shoes or something. And so I walked with her, and here's what she said. We're going to walk way down there. We're going to pick it up. You know, we're booking down there. And all of a sudden, she bends over and grabs her knee and says, oh, my arthritis is killing me today. I said, well, let's stop. We don't have to keep going. And here's what she said to me. No. I told my knee yesterday, I don't care how much you hurt. If I have to, I will drag you down the road.
uh-huh.
I mean, I couldn't even talk to her about exercising. And mm-hmm. Yesterday we were at a mall. She loves going to a mall, Ted and I and his wife Amy. And she walked for like 2 or 3 hours, didn't she? Her legs were killing her, but she kept walking.
Hmm, that's cool. What I wanted to get back a little bit to what you had said, Ted, about child-centered homes. And obviously, I alluded to the book that you guys wrote, Great Parents, Lousy Lovers. Well, many of our young adults are kind of products of that now. They were, you know, maybe coddled by their folks and, mm-hmm. and are having to deal with that. What I think now, as they kind of look towards marriage, what can they do? Maybe their folks were great parents but didn't model great marriages then in the midst mm-hmm. of that. So what are some things that they need to do now to ensure that they don't repeat those kind of patterns?
Yeah, it's responsibility. If prolonged adolescence is defined as too much privilege, not enough responsibility. You got all the privilege from the kid-centered home. Mm-hmm. The responsibility is something you can add. I'm telling the young guys in our church this all the time. 20 hours a week is not full time. Mm-hmm. Gaming 60 hours a week, totally unnecessary. It's frying your brain. Sports, you know, limit it. You need to go out and work. What I deal with today in watching the dating scene, which we talked about this a little bit before the broadcast, which absolutely exhausts me. We have a youth director at our church. She's 29. I can't believe I just said who it is, and I'm going to mention her name. Anyway, I'm watching her, and I'm going to tell her don't ever go on Boundless website.
Webinar. Don't penalize
her. No, I know. She needs to. But I just, in watching that dating relationship and realizing I don't know of a greater responsibility in my life right now than marriage. And a pastor of a church, to me, isn't the responsibility that marriage is. And if I haven't been trained in responsibility, so I would, to be honest with you, I know this sounds odd, but if you came from a kid-centered home where you didn't need to work and your life was only sports and it was only parties and hanging out with friends and gaming, one of the best things you can do to prepare for marriage is start working hard. Hmm. Learn how to submit to a boss. Learn how to provide, and this is whether you're a man or a woman, it doesn't matter. Learn to go the extra mile when something needs to be done at work, and it's going to keep you there past 5, like maybe till 5:15. Stay. I mean, the number of people that have come up to me and said, "No, we do get our birthdays off." No, you don't get your birthdays off. When I deal with 20-somethings that come in,
I want my birthday off.
No, you can't have it work. But they come in, and like, what do I deal with college graduates all the time in the church? They come in, they start working, and they have 30 friends from college who are getting married in the next 12 months, and they want to go to every single wedding. And I have to tell them, weekends at the church are pretty important. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a big part of what we do is on the weekend. And no, you can't be gone. And I kind of get this, drop the attitude.
Mm-hmm.
Learn how to work. Learn how to submit. Because what's Gary talking about? What are we talking about? Great marriages are where a husband and a wife are both submitting to the authority and leadership of the Lord, first and foremost in their lives and in their hearts. If you marry a guy who is not submitted to the Lord and doesn't understand responsibility, it's going to be a lot of heartache in that marriage. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a lot of struggle, a lot of tension. The fear, you know, we'll talk about delayed marriage, I guess, in the next podcast, but one of the reasons people are delaying marriage is because they feel irresponsible, you know, to marry too young.
Mm-hmm.
They got to get their life set up and stretched. I don't think it's going to take you 10 years after leaving home to learn responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's too long. I think 5 years is too long. I think this responsibility thing you can learn your first year out. Now, what's hard is I, as a pastor, whether you're working at the church or just a member of our church, find myself in the position doing what most parents should be doing. And that is sending the children out as adults,
mm-hmm.
you know, in their late teens. This child is ready to go. If you didn't come out of that type of home, you've got to discipline yourself and become responsible. And I don't think a lot of people connect the two, a good work ethic with a good marriage. But at work, you're going to learn skills. You're going to, you know, put in the time. And marriage takes the same thing of just a heavier responsibility.
Yeah, that's good. Well, this has been a very quick conversation. We're going to have to, you know, Dr. Smalley, he comes, he's just a BFF. So we're going to have to lure him back here again when he's back in the area to have you guys
very
delve.
Right now.
He's very relaxed for a morning. I mean, he's good to go.
This is fun to do, too.
Well, I think it's hugely helpful. And if there's one thing that our audience needs, and we hammer them on all the time, is getting mentors and getting people in their lives who can get up in their bit-net, as I like to say.
Yeah. Get a job.
And then, okay,
can
Ted
I say one more thing?
Get a job.
Do
yes.
You have time?
Yeah.
I thought singles, I just love saying this to them. Marriage is the foundation of our society, mm-hmm. foundation of healthy churches, cities, states, country, the world. And so everything good, it's like the furthest up the stream you can go. It starts there. As marriages stop existing, or weak ones do, or sick ones do, then all the other junk that we face, all the huge cost to our society of the drugs and all that junk comes out of really, really weak marriages and sick ones and divorced ones and so on and so forth, okay? Mm. So we know that marriage is the foundation. So the people listening today need to realize that's what makes a great nation. And so then secondly, don't worry. Just because your parents were so unhappy, today there's so much information. What would be our best book to show them that marriage is a skill-based relationship first? What's one of ours?
As Long As We Both Shall Live.
As Long As We Both Shall Live. And I have one by myself, which I did with my sons and some psychologists we did together, called The DNA of Relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Six things a couple can do right from the get trained beforehand, but this is the thing that they use now in these marriage intensives where they're 4 days long, five couples at a time. They have about 85% success in helping couples totally turn around, even when they have divorce papers in their hand, or if they've already been divorced. So that there are so many opportunities today, like I've just said with Dr. David Olson, just Google Dr. David, his marriage evaluation. Oh, it's awesome. Mm-hmm. So there's no end to help.
Mm-hmm.
So don't worry about, well, what if I marry the wrong person? I don't know that there's any such thing. When you're serving somebody and you start falling more and more in love, it happens. And so anyway.
Just mention the ones you own stock in.
Yeah. I do. That's
okay.
True.
Well, and being, and this is another thing we talk about a lot at Boundless, and that is being in community and the value of community.
Yes.
Don't be a lone ranger in your relationships.
Absolutely.
Don't think that you're all that and whoever you marry has
exactly.
to become the person that you need them to be in order to fit your mold. So good stuff, you guys. Dr. Gary Smalley, Ted Cunningham, thank you very much, gentlemen. We will have on the blog all the info about where to get your books and more info about your ministries. Fantastic stuff. So thank you so much for joining us today.
You're very welcome.
Thank you, Lisa.